This is The State of Things. I'm Anita Rao. When Wake Forest University suspended in-person classes in March, Justin Catanoso knew things had to change for his intro to news writing class. Instead of teaching his students how to hunt down sources and cover campus events, he gave them an assignment to cover the pandemic from within their homes. The results were surprising and made for a learning experience for both the teacher and his students. Justin Catanoso is a professor of journalism at Wake Forest University and a freelance journalist. Justin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Anita. Thanks for having us.
Also with us are two students from the class. Marley Rich is a junior and Anthony D'Angelo is a sophomore. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So, Justin, we have been talking throughout this hour about both changes in journalism and changes in teaching, and you're kind of witnessing both of those at the same time. So how do you shift in how you teach students about journalism in the midst of a pandemic?
Well, we were fortunate enough to have a half a semester together in this class where we had established a dialogue and a dynamic of being able to work together, of having intense conversations. And really, as Robin just described, I try to run my classroom like a newsroom where we discuss story ideas and it's very collaborative. And then we go out onto the campus, as you said, to like find sources and find the interviews that they're going to do so they can identify the stories that they want to do. And suddenly you can't do that. And I realized that I needed to sort of drop this convention. You know, one of the rules of journalism is you don't interview your friends. You don't interview family
right.
members. You derive your credibility from the distance that you have from your sources. And suddenly, these kids are sitting on the biggest story in the world, and their sources are under their own roof. And I realized I just had to adapt the assignment to allow them to sort of rise to this moment.
So, Marley, you got an assignment to cover the coronavirus pandemic from inside your home. What do you do when you hear that assignment? How did you decide what to write about?
I think I'd been so engrossed in just kind of the news that was on TV, and when we got this assignment, I was thinking about, I'm from New York, so we're kind of in the hotspot of everything, and I knew there would be a ton of good stories about people on the front lines and stories happening around me. And then I kind of just realized that the story around me was honestly super compelling because everyone in my family who had been home was all, you know, going through different things at the same time, and all of them had a really cool story that was affected by this pandemic. So
the people around you had just as much of a compelling narrative or a different one than people were hearing as compared to the people outside your house. Anthony, how about you? What made you choose to write a piece about your family?
Yeah, so when I was assigned the story, I immediately thought that I had an unfortunate but great opportunity to write about my sister who got the virus when coming home from New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So I immediately thought, you know, although this is a very tough situation, I can make some good out of it and write about it. So that was my immediate thought.
So tell me more about what happened to your family and set up the story that you ended up telling in your piece.
Yes. So my sister goes to Tulane University in New Orleans, and New Orleans was becoming quite the hot spot for coronavirus. And my parents, being very worried, were able to convince her to come home. She at first didn't want to come home because she likes living alone and living her own life, but we were able to bring her home, and while she got home, whether she got it in New Orleans or in the airport, she came down with the virus, which was very unfortunate.
So what did that mean for the rest of your family? Did you all stay living at home around her?
Yes, we all stayed living at home. The only change we really made in our lifestyle was my grandmother, who is living with us. She's 84. We decided that we needed to move her out of the house immediately. And we moved her out, and we tried staying away from my sister, but my parents felt, and I guess I felt as well, that it was inevitable that, you know, we were most likely going to get it too. But we definitely tried maintaining our distance and doing the best we can to not get the virus.
Can you read an excerpt from your piece for us?
Yes, of course. So this is about my sister when she first got home from the airport. When she got home from the airport, my family made sure my grandmother stayed far away from her in case she caught the virus while traveling. My grandmother was happy to see her home, but struggled with not being able to kiss or hug her granddaughter, who she hadn't seen in months. Our family, maybe because we are Italian, loves to hug and kiss, said Francesca, my sister. Coming home after a long period of time and not being able to hug anyone or even sit with my grandmother was hard. After a few days of being home, Francesca started to cough and complained about a headache. When the doctor told her she had the coronavirus, we moved my grandmother out of the house. How bad my sister's illness was going to get, however, was unknown.
That's Anthony D'Angelo, a student in a class with Professor Justin Catanoso at Wake Forest University, also here with another student, Marley Rich. So, Justin, these stories are coming in from your students, really powerful, really intimate, so close to what's happening in the news, really no line between what's happening inside their homes and what's happening out in the world. What was it like for you to begin receiving these stories and witness kind of the more personal lives of your students?
Well, it was just really powerful. I mean, Anita, I'm reading these stories, and some of them, including Marley's, just about brought me to tears. But I realized as they were coming in that this was the best story, the best assignment that they could do. I've got Alice in New York City, where she's opening her windows at 7 o'clock and cheering, you know, the shift of essential workers. I've got John in South Carolina, whose father's a pulmonologist, who actually zoomed into class to talk to us about how he's dealing with this. I've got Camille in Louisiana, whose family has a restaurant, who's been closed down because of this, and they're wondering about how they're going to make a living. I've got a kid from China, Lou, who has a friend at Penn State, whose neighbors have written to him and said, do not come home. And if you do come home, we will run you out of the neighborhood.
Wow.
These stories were chilling for me to read, and the reporting that went into it, even though it broke all the rules that I'd laid out, they're interviewing their friends, they're interviewing family members, were absolutely beautiful.
Marley, tell me about that. I mean, how do you interview your family members about sensitive topics? What did that look like for you, and how did you approach that process?
I think for me, it was a lot more of like an informal process. Like once I decided that I wanted to kind of report from inside my house, it was honestly just like observing day to day and observing a normal day, because this was like our new normal. And, you know, every night, like we sit down and we have big dinners and all of us kind of report on the little things that happen during the day. And so I think just having more informal conversations about what each day looks like for each of my family members, and then kind of getting their feelings. And then at that point, it was just a matter of putting, you know, all of their feelings and what I was seeing into my own words. So
your piece really does little profiles of each member of your family and a day in the life of what they're going through. I would love for you to read a section for us. Maybe you can set it up.
This was a vignette basically about just my mom and, you know, a day for her. So with autoimmune disease, we all worry about mom the most in the midst of this pandemic. If we were responsible for making her ill, it would be too huge a weight to bear. But of course, she insists upon grocery shopping because she is ironically least afraid in all of this and knows she'll likely have to go back to the store anyway if she leaves it up to one of us to do. Or maybe she just wants an excuse to put on jeans today. Unfortunately, leaving the chaos at home doesn't prepare her for the chaos of the grocery store. Lines of tape are spaced out every 6 feet, and every shopper has their signature mask and gloves on. A strange feeling to be monotonously shopping for Dad's favorite potato chips while simultaneously feeling like you're in the middle of an apocalypse. As she waits in line to pay, she overhears a man at the register asking, "Are there any masks?" The cashier nearly laughs in the man's face. "Has he been watching the news? Where could I get one?" My mom feels her stomach lurch. She knows she has an extra mask in the car for one of her daughters, this poor, clueless man. She jumps out of line and tells him she would be happy to give him. The man smiles and begins repeatedly thanking her, as if she has given him a qualified piece of cloth.
That's Marley Rich, a junior at Wake Forest University, reading from a reported piece about her family's experience during the pandemic. I'm talking with journalism professor Justin Catanoso and two students in his class this semester. And what struck me about reading both of these pieces, Marley's and Anthony's, is that, you know, amidst this crisis, we're all experiencing these little moments of humanity right alongside these moments of deep stress and deep fear. Anthony, for you, I mean, this has evolved. Your sister had COVID-19, and then your dad also got sick. So what has your experience been kind of navigating being a student and then being a family member, trying to kind of support your family while also being, I'm sure, very fearful for your own health?
Yes. So obviously, navigating the day-to-day life of being a Wake Forest student was a priority of mine. But once my sister came home and she got sick, immediately my attention went to her. You know, I'd be doing my classes and I'd be hearing her cough, and every day it got a lot worse. And I did start to get worried. My sister has a immune deficiency disorder, and she also has lupus as well. So she is already struggling with all these medical problems, and now we have another added layer to that, and it definitely worried me a lot. And switching focus between my classes and her. And then when my dad got it, you know, he's a lot older, and his cough also sounded pretty bad, and he was close to going to the hospital. So I definitely was, you know, not really focused on my own health, but really focused on their health, because I thought, you know, I'm young and healthy. If I get it, you know, it would be a shame, but I was really concerned with their well-being.
So as you're seeing, I mean, the stories about this in the paper and the reporting on this, and then also seeing what's happening inside your own house, what did you think about kind of journalism in this moment? I mean, did anything strike you in particular about noticing the story so personally and then seeing how it's been reported to the public?
Yeah, so I think during this pandemic, journalism has really been pushed to the front of importance, because you can see the impact that journalism has on people's initial reaction to the pandemic. You saw how journalism affected how people, you know, perceived how dangerous this was, what people should do. So I definitely was able to see the impact that journalism had. And when you look at both personal stories and both more informative stories, you can compare the two and see the different impact that they have on people. For example, more personal stories definitely bring out more fear, and they, you know, they tell people that this virus isn't just affecting you, you know, you're staying home, you're really bored, things like that, but it's affecting everyone and people are dying from it. And then you have the more informative journalism stories who are more telling us, you know, the numbers, you know, making it more broad. So this pandemic definitely allowed me to see, you know, the differences between the two type of journalism stories and the different impacts they can have.
Well, given that you knew the numbers and knew the risks and knew the dangers, what was it like to ask your parents kind of when your sister was sick, acknowledging the mortality statistics? What was it like to ask them about that?
It was definitely challenging. You know, my family's really close. We're a big Italian family. And most of our conversations either about, you know, what we're having for dinner and food, or it's about making fun of each other. So this was definitely a new way to talk with them, and they didn't want to scare me. Definitely they, you know, they're the martyrs in my family. They try staying stoic and positive, and now they were faced with something that even they didn't know. So they were definitely put with a challenge of, you know, reconsidering what was going on and trying to tell me, you know, their thoughts about it. And their thoughts were very similar to mine in the sense that they know how dangerous it is, but there's so much unknown there. And they were trying to express that to me when I was, you know, interviewing them. And I definitely had to dig deep in order to really capture what they were really feeling. But, you know, at the end of the day, we were both in the same situation where we were scared. We were just didn't know what was going to happen next. So it was definitely challenging, but it was really eye-opening as well.
It's also interesting, Marley. I mean, this moment has brought up existential questions for a lot of people about, you know, what's my role in my community? How can I support others? What am I doing for my job? You know, what's the meaning of life? All of that kind of stuff. So I wonder for you as a college student, has this changed anything about, you know, what you want out of your future or what you may be thinking about kind of life for the next couple of years and life after college?
Yeah, definitely. I think I'd always known that I wanted to do writing in some capacity, whether, you know, my major or minor. And so now that I'm pursuing the journalism minor, it just and writing this story and other stories that I've written this semester, it just I just see that journalism is something I definitely want to do in the future, just because I like feel like it's so rewarding to write a story that can make someone feel something. And then at the same time, it's something that matters, and it's something that's happening right now. And I think when I look back at all the stories I've done the most, I've done them well. If it's about something that I think matters, or something I'm passionate about, or something I'm invested in. So I just think I definitely want to pursue that, because I know it matters to me and it matters to other people when you are writing these stories about things that are happening right now.
Yeah. Justin, as you prepare these students for, you know, their next steps in college and entering this field of journalism that is ever-changing, and as we heard earlier, you know, really going through an identity crisis in terms of funding and support, how is it shaping the skills that you want to instill in them, especially given now the even, you know, greater economic challenges?
Well, I think you heard it really well from Anthony and Marley. They have picked up on this passion for journalism, in this need to communicate. And I'm really clear with them about the economics of this field. But somehow my students, even, you know, the economics of journalism weren't a whole lot better before this pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. But somehow a lot of my students that are really committed to getting out there and getting involved managed to find jobs and careers writing. And they may not all be for news organizations, but they might be writing for environmental groups or NGOs or different kind of social service groups where they're using their journalism skills to communicate and write. But the big thing, you know, in this class is just this understanding of how vital journalism is. Independent journalism, verifying your facts, making sure that you're communicating information that is fair and accurate that people can make decisions on. And what was so powerful about this assignment is that they just rose to it. They took it to another level, and they were basically holding their own family members accountable to a certain degree to tell stories that they will keep for the rest of their lives. I'm really, really proud of them.
Wonderful. Glad to hear it. And thank you so much for sharing your writing with us. My guests are Justin Catanoso, professor of journalism at Wake Forest University and a freelance journalist, two members of his Intro to News Writing class, Marley Rich, as well as Anthony D'Angelo. Thank you all so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
You can find out more about our show at our website, stateofthings.org. You can also find a link to a survey where we want to know about your experience during this moment. It is linked on our website. It is on our Facebook page. Check it out and share your stories with us for future episodes.